Has the Greek prime minister saved the financial bailout of his country?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. All eyes are on Greece today and a referendum on the European bailout that may or may not happen now. Prime Minister George Papandreou is reportedly walking back a planned referendum on deep public sector cuts, a vote he announced much to the surprise of other European officials a few days ago. Well, now Papandreou is in talks with the government's opposition party on how to move forward with those cuts and with the bailout. All the while, leaders from the world's leading economies are meeting for the G20 today in France. Paul Wachtel is professor of economics at New York University. Professor, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
What does it mean that the prime minister is reportedly going to scrap this referendum?
I think he's backing off from a very, very risky situation. A referendum would probably mean that the Greek public would vote against all the austerity policy. The consequence of that would probably be the fall of the government, the default by Greece on its debt, and probably Greece having to leave the Eurozone, which would create an absolutely devastating crisis throughout Europe.
You think he played a game of chicken with his opposition party?
I think that might be the case, that he's trying to scare them into going along with what he feels is necessary, because the kind of reforms and austerity plans in Greece are very hard to swallow.
They're very unpopular, and the opposition party, of course, was against them.
They're very unpopular amongst the Greek public, who might not really understand how serious this situation is and what this means for the whole European community.
All right, let's say, and we don't know absolutely for sure, but let's say that this plan for the vote is scrapped officially. Then where do we go?
Okay, that takes us back to where we were a few days ago. Responsibility is in the hands of the Greek government to bring reforms to the economy. The willingness of the European community to support Greek debt depends upon those reforms taking place. And all of that is a big question mark. The supposed agreement reached last Wednesday by the leaders of Europe is very unspecific. It's not at all clear that Europe has really made the decision to support the Greek government, even if the Greek government survives and is willing to undertake some of the reforms that are necessary.
Professor Paul Wachtel of the Economics Department at the Stern School of Business over at NYU. Professor, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now. Here at home, the Dow is up about 1%, 116 points at 11,952. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 each up about 1% as well. Fewer people sought jobless benefits last week. The Labor Department said today the number was down by 9,000. European shares are higher right now. The European Central Bank, by the way, cut interest rates by 0.25% today. Cuts in the $70 billion a year food stamp program are on the table as Congress looks for ways to trim the U.S. budget deficit. More than 40 million Americans use those food stamps. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
The annual budget for food stamps doubled during the recession. Republicans say some of that growth is due to fraud, so they want to hold the food stamp budget at about $71 billion next year. Democrats want to spend about $80 billion. Charities say they wouldn't be able to keep up with demand if food stamp funding were cut. Paula Thornton Greer is a spokeswoman for Feeding America, which supplies food banks.
We're serving 37 million people each year, and that is a 46% increase from 2006.
Some economists say there would also be an impact on the broader economy if less was spent on food stamps. Sheila Zedleski analyzes food stamps at the Urban Institute. She says food stamp spending creates jobs.
You need clerks at the grocery store, truckers, food delivery, food production. It increases demand.
Zedleski says each food stamp dollar spent generates about $1.70 in economic activity. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering Pop Money, a way to pay other people online by sending an email or text. Learn more at allybank.com. by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu. And by Money Magazine's Take Charge Live, a series of events designed to help you take charge of your finances, November 16th at Boston College. Registration at moneytakecharge.com.
People in Cuba can now reportedly buy and sell property for the first time since the country's communist revolution. The BBC's Michael Voss reports now the Cuban government hopes the new law will also ease a severe housing shortage.
Most Cubans do officially own the title to their homes and can pass them on to their children. But buying or selling real estate is not allowed. The only way to move was through a complicated trading system, which often involved illegal payments and bribes to government officials. The result is a chronic housing shortage, with three, sometimes four generations, often forced to live together in tiny, cramped apartments. The new law, announced on the front page of the Communist Party newspaper Granma, will take effect on November the 10th. Jorge Luis Tapia was recently elected to the Communist Party's Central Committee. He's helping lead efforts to rejuvenate the island's stagnant economy.
We have to change our mentality to engage with the private sector and know more about their concerns.
The majority of the Cuban economy will remain in state hands, but changes are afoot. Besides homes, car sales were recently legalized, and Cubans can hire workers for some small business work. In Havana, I'm the BBC's Michael Voss for Marketplace.
And finally, the Los Angeles City Council has approved fines for pet owners whose dogs bark and disturb the neighborhood. If the mayor signs the ordinance, those pet owners will face a $250 penalty the first time their pooch has a bit too much yap. After that, the fines get worse. $500 for a second offense, $1,000 for a third offense. Some dog owners say the ordinance, which would go into effect before the end of the year, provides a little too much bite. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM. That's American Public Media.
Nepotism, corruption, cronyism, all in a day's work for big business in Syria.
I love Syria. I love the president. I love everything he do. He give us a lot of promises and he achieve a lot of targets.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Syria, where being pro-government is good for the bottom line. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.